Hi, this is Alex Roman, Managing Editor for Metro Magazine, and welcome to Metrospectives, a podcast about public transportation, the private motor coach industry, and all things mobility. Today, my guest is Marco D'Angelo, President and CEO of the Canadian Urban Transit Association. D'Angelo joins me to discuss the impact of COVID-19 on Canadian transit, how some provinces are beginning to dial services back up to full schedules, and the ongoing fight to get federal funding to help offset operational losses due to the pandemic. Now my talk with Marco.
Hello and welcome to Metrospectives. I'm Alex Roman, Managing Editor for Metro Magazine. And my guest today is President and CEO of the Canadian Urban Transit Association, Marco D'Angelo. Mr. D'Angelo, thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So, can you just touch a little bit on how things are going there in Canada? I mean, is it any different there in as far as COVID-19 as compared to here in the States?
Yes, I can. We've seen since about March 13th, that would be the turning point day, where it was clear that COVID was going to be something of a concern for all transit systems across Canada. And since then, ridership through the months of March and April were down by an average of 80% across Canada, fairly evenly. So what we saw was it was essential workers who are keeping hospitals open, grocery stores, and that's about 1 million Canadians a day that would be using transit during this last 2 months. But of course, at the same time, transit systems were running at a very high level of service so that we could provide physical distancing for passengers, could also provide still a reliable service for those essential workers. So those are the two things that we have in our mind as we were looking at service, which was having a reliability plus also safety and respecting instructions from public health in terms of how we could transport people safely during the pandemic.
Right. And everything, everything here in the States happened pretty quickly. I would assume, once everything was in place, ridership dipped quite drastically and transit agencies had to kind of scramble to figure out what their new normal for that time was going to be.
Yep. I mean, that's exactly right. So through the acute COVID pandemic, our ridership did drop and has remained fairly low. That said, there are different jurisdictions within Canada where front door boarding has resumed. So initially, we were doing rear door boarding to provide extra protection for operators, and we had seats that were sectioned off. But now in the province of British Columbia, as of June 1st, front door boarding has resumed. Other provinces are beginning to reopen. In Quebec, there's mass distribution that's going on a complementary basis to try and rebuild customer confidence and also to encourage people to take transit again. So, but it's been a slow reopening, I would say slower than has been seen in states across the U.S.
Right. I know it's with so much going on, and you work really closely with your transit agencies. Can you talk a little bit about what CUTA has been doing to help during this time, and kind of what your initial steps were immediately, and kind of what you're going through now?
Sure. So we've been very active on working on securing operating funding for transit system members during this period. But also we're taking a look out into the future as well, a future where people may have less money to spend, which may result in looking for more affordable mobility alternatives such as transit, or how we can reposition active transportation during this period. Because our sense is that coming out of COVID, households will have significant budget challenges, so we're trying to position transit as a way to invest in reducing Canadians' household expenses while investing in their mobility to keep them traveling to jobs and to education, health, and recreation at the same time. We know that women and service sector workers have just been disproportionately hit the hardest by the economic fallout of COVID-19. And so this is going to continue through the economic recovery phase. So this is where our work has been focused during this period while people have been working from home more. But, you know, they are returning daily. And so it's important to continue to invest in long-term mobility options for Canadians.
Right. And has Canada, as far as, you know, I know unemployment has skyrocketed here in the States. You know, how are those numbers in Canada? Is it having the same impact?
It has. COVID-19 did bring an unprecedented economic shock. So unemployment definitely is at a high. And so we're trying to find ways to create opportunities where transit can make serious headway when this period is ending. And we look towards a future where there's decarbonization, further electrification, ways to decongest our cities. So this is where we're trying to use this time to think about how we can advance state of good repair projects quickly while the demands on the transit networks are a bit lower. So transit agencies and our industry equipment manufacturers are working to get positioned to move forward on electrification during this time. And all of that hinges on the commitment of our federal government to continue to support large-scale capital projects through the longer term.
Right. And Canada has been very supportive of transportation infrastructure. It made quite an investment over the years. You know, what's the sense of you know, funding to help transit agencies? You know, why has there been, I don't know if there's been reticence or, you know, what are some of the issues involved with transit not getting, you know, helped out during this time?
Yeah, so it's been a bit complicated. In the United States, you know, with the passage of the CARES Act, transit agencies across the United States did receive operational support early on in the pandemic, which is, you know, something where the U.S. federal government has had experience in providing operational funding. Our models are a bit different in terms of governance. So the federal government has entered as a really great capital funding partner over the last number of years, but typically operational funding has not been their responsibility. That's been the responsibility of provinces. That said, during this pandemic, it's been a national one that's affected all Canadians, and Canada is a very urban country, and to come out of this COVID economic crisis, transit needs to be at the center of that. So we've been working very closely with the federal government to assist them in coming to the table with our provinces to find a way to replace revenues that have been lost during COVID-19 because, as mentioned earlier, our systems have continued to provide a very high level of service, and it's created very large deficits for our municipalities, and they're not able to have annual deficits. So there will need to be some sort of meeting of the levels of government to come together to find an emergency relief package for local transit systems, which I'm confident that we will get there this year.
Okay, great. Are they making headway? Have they started those conversations?
We have started those conversations, and so we were very pleased to hear on Monday that the federal government was advancing something called the gas tax fund by 6 months. So that's where there's funds available for capital projects for transit systems. Those funds have been advanced by a bit, but also the door, I think, was also open there to have a larger conversation where the federal government could come to the table to help to support transit systems across Canada. And that would really help our local transit operators, because there's uncertainty about how to proceed for the rest of the year with these operational funding gaps. And then, of course, if you don't have your operating funding, it makes for an uncertainty for larger capital projects. So that's where you know, there's so much uncertainty in economic conditions, and the willingness of private equity to invest in larger scale transit projects. So we're working quite diligently to secure that operating funding and then start to turn our attention to multi-year infrastructure funding programs and, of course, investing in state of good repair, which is going to be also another area for the medium and long term that our systems are going to be working towards while we continue the build out of our rapid transit networks, greening our transit fleets, and then ultimately going back to our work, which was increasing our modal share within our communities, which was interrupted, like so many things, by COVID.
Right. And you mentioned in BC at TransLink, I know I've seen a press release that they began kind of ramping up services as these stay-at-home orders start to become a little bit more relaxed and people are returning to work. Can you talk a little bit about some of the procedures they're putting in place as they're serving more customers?
Yes, at TransLink, as of June 1st, they did resume front door boarding. So one thing that was done in the initial phase was to create a solution where there would be protection for the bus operator. So there's a vinyl shield that's been built in that will help to provide greater distancing, but so that way a passenger boarding is not as close to the operators they were before with this between them. So they've done that. They're promoting contactless payments as well, so using their fare card program, they're able to board without handling cash, and so and they're doing that in a gradual way as the province begins to reopen. They're looking to manage capacity and maintain their levels of service, but you know, once you cross a threshold where a certain percentage comes back, typically between 30% and 40%, transit systems are going to need to revisit how service levels are happening, how is social distancing working, and really keeping an eye on where demand is. Because one thing we're finding as the cities reopen is that the peak demands, the typical peak morning and afternoon rush hour, are sort of stretched out more flatly through the day, which will be an interesting challenge as cities reopen and work from home kind of continues. So commuting, I think, in the short run could be quite different than what people are accustomed to it. But we're going to watch and see as cities like Vancouver reopen and some of the big systems like TransLink welcome back passengers.
Right. And here, you know, we have a lot of trends going on. One of the big ones was microtransit and this ideal of mobility and getting people around city centers and you know, from place to place. And, you know, with everything going on, you know, what kind of trends do you see coming with kind of the new normal for public transportation in Canada?
I think there'll be a greater role for technology in all aspects of the customer experience, whether that's you know, using a booking app or a flexible dynamic route where customers are putting out demand directly, and then you know there's flexible routes that service those or other options like that. I think there's certainly a big role for technology to play in the customer experience, which would help to streamline operations. It would help to increase mobility for people, especially in low ridership areas like a suburb, for example. We have a lot of pilot programs and things that were like that were underway that tested micro mobility, on-demand transit, for example, looking at different sorts of vehicles, and could our accessible vehicle fleet help to complement some of the conventional if you get into more of a demand-based model. So those are some of the things we were working on in advance of COVID, and I think that coming out of that and seeing ridership trends being quite different than how they were before, I think there's a big role for technology to play in the next 1 to 3 years in really bringing commuters back to transit.
Right. And lastly, I mean, what's the sense you have of how quickly ridership may bounce back once maybe this passes or things begin to open up even more?
Yeah, in terms of the ridership returning, it's sort of evolving, you know, just like at the beginning of COVID where economists were forecasting a V-shaped recovery. I think it's clear that it's not going to be a V. But that said, that could work out for transit systems that could help us to prepare that we don't go back to 100% immediately. So as communities across the country reopen, We're seeing an uptick in ridership, which has been very promising to see that people are coming back, but it's happening in a pretty gradual way. So hopefully, you know, we return to pre-COVID ridership levels perhaps in a year. What we don't want to have happen is losing a lot of the momentum that transit had, and that's across North America,
right,
in terms of increasing ridership. And the last thing you want to have happen is a resurgence of single occupancy vehicles over the next 2 years. That would be a really unfortunate step if that happened. So that's why it's pretty important that transit systems, as we reopen, is that we do so in a really responsible way that rebuilds the confidence of riders to come back to those systems. And then also thinking about the longer-term expansion projects and making sure those are underway, because that will be an important job creator. It will also be an important mobility improvement measure for riders as well. So I think those are some of the things that we can be mindful of going forward.
Great. Well, thank you for your time, Mr. D'Angelo. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to Metrospectives, a podcast from Metro Magazine. Be sure to check out all the latest industry news at metromagazine.com or follow us on Twitter at MetroMagTweet.